full battery, all set. So first, introduce you, Dennis. Dennis Dugan, what are you? What would you say you're most famously known for in life?
I would say for
getting close there.
Staying too far away from the mic.
I'll turn your volume up.
My whole life. I think I would probably say Happy Gilmore. That's the biggest calling card that when I needed a place, a good table at a restaurant.
When you pull the Larry David.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? But are you more of an actor or director? I guess.
I started as an actor, and you know, you can tell. I've always been able to tell the age of people because they'll go, oh, I know you. And they obviously don't know me from directing, but they'll go, I know you. What do I know you from? And I go, depending on how old they look, I go, Rockford Files, and they go, yeah, Rockford, or I'll go, Hill Street Blues, and that's a little tiny bit younger.
Moonlighting.
Moonlighting, yeah.
Moonlighting was a show that when I was little, my parents would watch it, and they wouldn't let me watch it with them.
Really? Because
yeah.
It was too dirty?
I don't know. I mean, now I've got a podcast where all I do is curse left and right, so.
Yeah, Moonlighting was cool. Moonlighting, were like, just as I was like, sort of transitioning out of acting, because I grew up in Wheaton, Illinois. I didn't know that I would ever even be in a television show or a movie, much less direct anything. So, because we didn't even know in Wheaton what that was, directing.
This is so cool, because just for the people at home, we're here now at your house.
Yeah.
You're doing well. You've done well.
Yeah.
You're a Hollywood success story.
Yeah. When I went to New York, I left Wheaton in 69 to go to New York to be an actor. And I landed there on the weekend of Woodstock. So there was nobody there to welcome me to the acting world. And I had $400.
Okay.
That was it. So I parlayed it into this dining room table.
Yeah. Maybe a third of the dining room table. Or...
Yeah. Yeah. But Moonlighting... We can just jump around on some stuff, right?
We don't need to talk about Moonlighting. I guess. First of all, I was going to ask you if you had seen Adventures in Golf.
Yeah.
And you were starting to answer that question, and then I got the mic set up in a hurry. So.
Yeah, it's. I loved it. It was.
You did.
So it was so cool, and because honestly, don't be upset, but I didn't know you.
I don't even know myself, so it's fine.
I just thought this is really cool. You know, I wish I'd been on that journey. You know, I would have hit 40 balls into the fucking ocean. Because you're
that
a real golfer.
I'm a real golfer. Yeah. That means a lot to hear you say that. Because I mean, the way I look at you, I actually sort of, I look at your life and I definitely have a feeling of like, oh, I wish I was there. I wish I was on that.
Yeah. But you know, from golf, because my dad was a golfer. He wasn't a very good golfer, but he hacked around his whole life, and so I'd hack around with him. And the best I ever got was like, you know, 90.
Yeah.
That was like, we just play every hole as a par five, and that's the way we keep score. Over fives and under fives. Did you do that?
Right.
No. That's how we'd keep score, because you want if it's what you were doing if every hole was a par five.
Right. So that would be par 90. Yeah, that's bogey golf.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start doing that. I'll start having more fun. But to actually have a question, like, so you would typically play around 90.
Yeah.
Would you have fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, I would hit enough good shots to keep me addicted.
Was there any point in your life, golf life, where you... struggled with having fun?
No, because I was always, like I said, I played, and then I was a caddy. I grew up in Wheaton, Illinois, and one of the original five PGA golf courses was Chicago Golf.
Sure.
And
so, one of the first clubs in America.
Yeah.
First 18.
I think it was the first
18. The first 18 that's private. Or, no, We'll get the stats.
There was something about the first 18-ishness of it.
It's very something.
And I caddied there, and I caddied in the next town over at Glen Oak.
Okay. This is around Bill Murray, right?
And then...
No? Didn't Bill Murray from right around there?
I don't know.
Anyway.
We were just outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that
Chicago thing. I thought so, yeah.
And then I was a greenskeeper at Chicago Golf.
Okay.
For a long time.
That's a big job.
I moved up to the highest level I got to was I was tees and collars.
Okay. What does that mean? What's tees and collars?
You cut the tees and collars because those are cut. They don't even use that language anymore.
No.
The collar around the green was the warning track.
I'm just an idiot. Stadium. I don't know what it tees and I thought you were tees and collars meant you were I thought you were dress code patrol.
Can't wear tees and you have to wear a collar. It's a different mower and it's a higher the grass is longer. It's
Would that relate to the level of skill? So if the more skilled you are, the smaller the mower is.
The next thing.
Greens.
The next thing is the greens.
Right.
Tees and collars, you can be a little not as good at.
So how did you, there was room for error? Were you like smoking a lot of weed on the job or something? Because I feel like currently greenskeepers are just like basically, they're on parole. It's sort of the clash of golf culture.
You couldn't smoke weed. First of all, when I was growing up, there wasn't any weed.
Really?
I mean, nobody.
How old are you?
I'm 71.
You're 71, but you really look like you're in your early 60s. Do people tell you that a lot?
Yeah.
Why is that? What do you do? What do you got? Cream or?
Alcohol and exercise.
That's so cool. So, yeah, I mean, you go, I didn't even realize that you had a super golf industry background.
Yeah.
How did you go from that into Hollywood?
I went to a school down in Texas.
Okay.
To be an actor down there, because they had a really good theater department. And then 2 years later, I got kicked out. And so I went to the Goodman Theater in Chicago at the Art Institute, and that's a real theater school. And then I went to New York to be an actor.
Huh. But what did you, I have a little pun that I thought of.
Yeah, what?
You went from the green to the silver screen.
It's not a pun. I think that's a poem.
It's a poem.
It's a bad.
Do you know Billy Collins?
Billy Collins.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, anyway. Poet laureate. He's going to be my next guest.
Oh,
and
really?
He wrote poems about, he's written a couple poems about golf. But
oh,
anyway.
Wow.
He's, anyway. So you come to Hollywood, and I mean, I guess really let's just fast forward. Happy Gilmore. Where did it start for you? Where was the idea? What happened?
I started the directing thing, and I had been doing TV for about 2 years, and Brian Grazer, who I knew and who was just popping as a producer, they sent a script to me. This is when I was doing, actually, when I was acting in Moonlighting, directing too. And at that time, when you were a TV director, you weren't a movie director.
Right, they were very separate.
Yes.
Up until just the last 15 years, right?
But the only exception was Moonlighting, because it was so crazy and so filmic and so good that you could get over. So I had directed a couple movies, and one of them was for Bob Simons. Problem Child was the name of it.
Okay, and I remember that. I related to that actually.
And I get that was
Macaulay. Who was that?
No. That was
That was the little redhead.
Yeah,
I deeply related to that. Yeah. Who was it?
John Ritter was in it.
John Ritter.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
So, the next movie I did was for the Zucker Brothers.
Okay.
Called Brain Donors, and it was a flop, terrible, just a big flop. And while I was casting it, I had seen this guy, Chris Farley, in Chicago at Second City. And so I called back and I said, you got
it. It's a comedy club or something?
It's Second City is the big improv.
Okay, right.
Bill Murray came from there too.
Really?
Everybody came from there.
Let's go there.
Yeah. And So I called. I said, we got to get this guy. And then right after that, SNL did their sweep through and grabbed him.
Oh.
And then I brought in two guys to the Zucker Brothers who were producing. And they turned one down. One of them they turned down. He was on a variety show on TV. I put the tape in, and they just watched like 2 seconds of him. They go, he's too TV. He's not. I go, really? He's really funny. And they go, he's too TV. No.
Huh.
I brought another guy in four times. And they turned. He wasn't famous at all. And they turned him down every time.
Right.
So that was a flop. Now I'm cold again. But a year goes by. I get a call.
Not working for a year.
No, I did. Went back to TV.
Right.
So I get a call. There's a script coming to your house. They're just about to shoot this movie. They're like 5 weeks away. And go in 9 o'clock and pitch yourself. I go, okay, whatever. I get the script. It was kind of all over the place, but funny and fun. So I have like 10 pages of notes. Go over to Universal, walk in the door, and Sandler's there, and his couple guys with him, Jack Garaputo, his partner.
And do you know him at this point? Is he famous?
He was the guy brought in four times on Brain Donors.
Right, who they turned down four times.
Turned him down four times.
Right.
Oh, by the way, the TV guy that they turned down? Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah, he really had a bad career, huh?
We could have had, we literally for 50 grand, we could have had
no.
Sandler and Jim Carrey. And if we'd been lucky, Farley.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but they've said no. No, no. So
wow.
I walk in the door and Sandler goes, "You." And I go, "You." And now he had just done Billy Madison.
Sure. Oh, right.
That was the first big movie, right?
Yeah, that was his first big one, yeah. And so everybody goes, "Who? How do you know each other?" And I go, "I brought," and he goes, "Don't say." He said, "He brought me in four times, and I thought for sure I was going to, every time I'd call everybody up, I'm going in again, I've got the job. Going in again, I got the job." And I said, "I tried." And he goes, "I know you tried. I know you tried." And he said, "You stood up for me. I'm standing up for you. You're doing the movie."
Whoa. And what movie was that?
Happy Gilmore.
That was Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. And I take my 10 pages of notes and I go. I hid them behind my back.
Because Sandler wrote it.
Yeah. And I go, the only fucking thing I can do now is lose the job by giving my.
I've got the job. Shut up.
Shut
right.
The hell up.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But that's him too, you know. He's
you stuck
that
out
guy.
For me.
He is that.
Did he really say that though? Did he really say, "You stuck out for me, I'll stick out for you"?
Yeah.
Well, that kind of warms my heart.
Yeah. Oh, he's the most loyal guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been lucky enough to meet him once or twice, and we did talk a little bit about Happy Gilmore, because, I mean, as a golf fan, there aren't enough movies out there, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I remember I could have easily known that he wrote it, because it says it on there, but I remember he told me that it was, to some extent, his story. Is that true? What do you understand about the writing of the screenplay?
I don't know anything about that. All I know is that it was there it was.
Right.
And, I remember my one big note when we got together up in Vancouver was
is where you shot it, the location?
Yeah, and I sent him, I go, I said, it's great, but I said, it's too many, there are too many disparate little sketches, which was sort of Saturday Night Live thinking.
Sure.
I said, we need a through line. We got it. It's really funny, but we're missing something that's going to drive it to the end, you know? And so we go back and forth and he goes, "Well, you know," he said, "you want to get, you know, Grandma's going to lose her house." And I go, "Great, fine. Done. That's it. That's all we need."
Yeah. Grandma's got to lose the house.
So hang everything on that and you got to get Grandma's house back. That's just hang everything on it and let's go. And what we would do is, and literally it was like 5 weeks.
Incredible.
The guy had been up there. They'd been scouting, and they had offices set up and everything. They just didn't have a director. So I went down. That was like on a Thursday. On Friday, I fly down to Dallas. Is it the Memorial?
The tournament there? Yeah. Yeah.
I fly down there, and I've got now an everything pass.
Right, right.
And...
So you were working in a little bit conjunction with the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I assumed not, because you only mentioned...
We couldn't do anything. We couldn't name... We had to make up our own
name. Yeah, yeah. You call it... What do you call it? The Tour?
I think just the Tour.
Yeah, in the movie? Yeah, okay.
So I went down there and I shot, like, for 2 days, walked all around, you know, inside the ropes.
What was the purpose?
So that I could see golf differently than I'd ever seen it before.
Ah, you've seen it as an amateur.
Or as a guy watching on TV, but yeah. I never had to shoot. You know, I wanted to see where they put the camera, you know, where do they have their camera, everything that I didn't know. So I just shot. You know,
yeah, because I just watched the movie again, obviously. I've seen it many times. I love it. It's one of my favorites. But actually, the quality of golf photography that you accomplished is very good, because a lot of people win, you know, Emmys for golf broadcasts, and they consider it one of the hardest sports to photograph as far as, like, broadcasts. So. Yeah. I was like, wow, they did a really good job. I was wondering, because you didn't have drones back then, how did you do the ones where you would...
Cable cam. That was brand new at that time.
Cable cam.
Because
so
driving the ball down.
Yeah. Yeah. So he has this one famous shot of when he hits the ball into the house early on, right?
Yeah, that was cable.
So you follow the ball from the yard of grandma's house all the way to the neighbor's house, 400 yards, quote.
Stuff, yeah.
And, you know, so... I saw that and I was like, whoa, there was no drone. There was no, that definitely wasn't a chopper. Cable.
Yeah. Fascinating. That thing, that cable cam, which I don't even know if those people probably out of business.
I think they use it for the NFL. I think
NFL. Yeah, they do.
It only recently though.
Yeah.
Okay. So
then so I did like a couple days there, and the one big takeaway I had on that, which I just was, is what an amazing, lonely fucking sport that is, as a pro golfer.
Sure.
You know, for us, just go hack around and have some fun.
Yeah.
But that it's, you know, the guys, you know, the seven o'clock guys.
Yeah.
We're just going through, and there's still dew on the grass and stuff.
Yeah.
And man, it is, if there's a meritocracy, such a thing as a meritocracy. That comes as close to it as anything, I think, because there's no outside circumstances. It isn't like tennis. Tennis isn't a meritocracy because, you know, if you're just starting out, you face Federer in the first round.
Right.
So Federer can affect how you move up in the tennis world. So baseball, football, anything else. But this game, like if I walked out today and started hitting... You know, shooting 66 every round I ever shoot, I could be playing on the pro tour.
Sure.
Simply based on me.
Yeah.
And the enormous pressure that these guys go under through, because I know you're doing that
the mental thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an astonishing thing, and that really knocked me out. We didn't put that in the Happy Gilmore. But it was the thing about golf that I thought, boy, oh boy, this is head and heart.
Yeah. Well, it's what they say a lot of the time is it's like a blue-collar situation. You're an independent contractor. If you don't play well, you don't make any money. There's no contracts.
Yeah.
And even with your sponsorships, they'll make money based on their progress. So it's really, I agree with you. I found that, and I thought, that's insane. You guys, it's so unusual. Compared to any other professional sport, you're completely alone. You have no team, quote unquote.
Right.
You know, you have a caddy who's sort of like your hype man, and you're just trying not to lose, trying not to beat yourself.
Yeah.
And you're going through hotels, and if you're not making money, they suck. A lot of these guys are sleeping in. They take RVs on the PGA Tour. There's a whole group. Anyway, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to my son last night, who just 2 weeks ago had Tommy John surgery. He's a pro ball player.
Yeah.
He was going, man, Dad, because he's losing the whole baseball season this year. The Diamondbacks, even he's a minor leaguer, but they kept him. They didn't drop him.
Right.
And he said, man, Dad, every day, this is going to be like 10 months of rehab. And he goes, every day I have to go in there. And I go in there and I see that I have to walk to the stage at the spring training facility. So he hears guys' names being called out in the game.
Right.
And he's like a step away from that. But now he's a year and a step away from that. And he said, I'm just like fighting every day. I'm just like, I put my head down and I'm just going to get through this day. He said, I don't even know if they're going to, he said, it's great that they kept me on salary. They didn't cut me.
Right.
But he said, I don't know what's going to happen at the end. Are they going to cut me? Do I have a job when I get back, when I come back from surgery? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I said, just remember the thing we've always said, baseball is an individual team sport.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same. So do you think, I mean, I guess, you know, when you watch Happy Gilmore, when was the last time you saw it? Did you see
it? I watched it last night.
Yeah. Okay, good. I was hoping.
And I hadn't seen it in, I'd seen bits of it here and there, so, but I hadn't seen it in all the way through in a right. long time on my new Sony.
A beautiful, for those of you at home, if you're in LA, call Dennis to watch a movie because his screening room is professional.
Well, I texted Sandler after this morning, and I said, hey, I'm doing this golf podcast, and I said, so I watched Happy last night for the first time in years, and I said, if we shot it tomorrow, I don't know what we'd change.
Whoa.
Because a lot of times you look at it and you go, oh, fuck, we had to do that. This is funny.
It's so good. I forgot how good it was. Really, that was my experience of just watching it. And not only it's funny, do you have a favorite quote?
Eat pieces of shit. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
It's so good. The one that I get a lot is, the price is wrong, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
did Barker balk at that, or was he like?
No, absolutely? he was completely on board with that.
Would CBS give him a problem with that? The price is wrong, bitch. Like, doesn't CBS own that?
No, nobody was. It was fine.
It was a different time. Yeah, people couldn't be offended. There were some offensive things. But, you know, I guess, you know, among all the quotable lines, I mean, I'll just really read off a few if you don't mind. Like, tap it and tap, tap. Yeah. There are so many things that they live beyond the film.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, like, there are these quotes that just literally go beyond it. More time in the sand than Hasselhoff. Like,
you know what he thinks that's funny, so he does it again.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Somebody's closer. You know, you hear these on golf courses over and over and over again, you know? But I think one of the things that, you know, because a movie isn't just comedy. You need to have something real. And Grandma's House is important. But for me, what I think I really connect to the most is this theme that maybe even is more prescient now than it was when it was made, which is like, who is golf for? Like, who's playing this game? And you have this amazing culture clash that I think is just sort of really starting to hit its boil right now. It seems to be happening. I don't know where you're at on the current events of golf, but was it
16th at the?
There you go. The 16th at Waste Management is a great example because here Adam Sandler takes his first tee shot. Happy stands up on the tee,
right. And
he's like 4 feet behind the ball, and he tells everyone to get louder. And that's happening now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at what point were you, when you started, you know, working on this, were you like, this is crazy? Because you knew golf.
Yeah.
Were you like, this is crazy? Or were you like, it could get there?
I just thought it was fun.
Right.
I just thought it was fun and funny and I didn't care what happened. It just seemed so rule breaking and so much about like, you know, the haves versus the have nots.
Right. Because but to your understanding, did Sandler, I mean, I guess I don't want you to speak for on his behalf, but I mean, was he, you know, because I didn't really realize that he played a lot of golf. And when he said that, it was kind of based on to some extent, him liking both hockey and golf and having that kind of experience of golf culture being, you know, kind of reserved.
Right, right.
You know, was that something that like, really, that was just sort of a byproduct of what you guys thought was funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think
when you're talking about the quotes,
yeah,
2 years ago, my son originally played with the Phillies, and then he became a free agent. He signed with the Cubs,
okay,
like two seasons ago. So he says to me, you know, because everybody always says, you know, every time he gets announced, they go, his dad is a Hollywood guy, you know. So,
oh, that would be annoying.
And so I said it is annoying, whatever. I said, but it is also something that separates you. So that's good in terms of PR. So.
Yeah.
But he said he was just about to go to spring training with the Cubs, and he said, Dad, I just hope that they don't know that you're my dad. No offense. And I go, I completely get it. You want to prove
I could
thing.
Be OJ.
Yeah. So he goes, he gets down there and he plays about 2 weeks, and they call him up to play in the major league game. And he calls me and he says, I'm going up to going over to the big club today. I go, great. So he walks on to the field, and Jake Arrieta comes over to him.
Ooh, I watched him throw a no-hitter against the Dodgers.
He says, hey, Kelly, Jake. And he goes, hey. And he goes, let me ask you a question. Did your dad do Happy Gilmore? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, that's cool. And then the 2 hours of warming up, because every athlete has seen this movie,
sure,
38 times. Sure. They all know all of those lines.
Right,
he said the whole time there, everybody's just shouting out Happy Gilmore.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, does your son love the movie?
Yeah.
He does, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What? So you're in the film, and you play the PGA Tour
right.
commissioner, if you will.
Right.
Did you meet, was Tim Finchin the commissioner at the time, or was it Dean Beaman?
No, I didn't meet anybody.
You didn't meet anybody.
In fact, we kept trying to get people, and, you know, we had not very much money, like $11 million bucks to make the movie.
Bummer.
And very few.
By the way, $11 million now, you can make 27 movies.
Yeah, absolutely. and pocket a mil.
Yeah, and you could still have a million for Tender Greens.
So we were trying to get people, but the problem with that part was because it was such a cheap movie, we had to like bring a person in, shoot all their stuff, and then get rid of them.
Yeah.
So we didn't pay hotels and per diem and that stuff. So we were
constant.
But the one part.
I do that with Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. he's drinking free water.
He's drinking water, that's all he gets. Oh, actually, you know, sorry. Do you like cookies?
Yeah.
I brought a cookie for you. It's a paleo cookie. I brought one for me and you, and I can break off some for Jeff.
It tastes like the real thing.
It is so good. Don't worry, it's not.
Okay. I'm fine.
I make these at my house. I'll eat one with you, so you know I'm not.
No sugar, no artificial.
Yeah.
Anything. So we can't get it. But the one part we couldn't mush together was that guy. So he was just gonna have to come in and then shoot whenever we could get him, would you?
Right.
So Bob Simons, one of the producers, says to me, he goes, "Why don't you play it?" And I go, I don't really feel like I'm old enough. And he goes, "You're old enough."
I think you're. I thought your character was actually very. It's good, right?
Yeah, good on the cookies.
Dennis has his first bite of the paleo cookie. It's becoming a bit of a theme on the show. If you're a guest, you're paid in cookies.
Nice.
So hopefully you're not diabetic or whatever. But you, I think the way you played that role was very. You seemed very nice. You know, you're sort of slugger. A shooter has his own kind of agenda. The question I had for you though is are you aware of whether or not, and I actually haven't looked into it, playing the ball off of the large former boss of Happy, is that actually do you actually have to play it as it lies?
I don't think.
I don't really know. Like if it lands on someone's foot, I think you get a drop. But I like that.
Yeah.
I liked that you just allowed to rely on the suspension of disbelief for that.
Yeah.
I really liked that. You know, and even on the final hole of the tournament where I feel like Happy essentially conducts what would be maybe the first trick shot ever in golf, because now there's a whole slew of wonderful young athletes who are basically doing entertainment trick shots. They'll hit them off a wall, and then they You know, and there's even a guy on tour now who got famous for doing trick shots, and now he plays on the PGA Tour. He's playing well. He's very good.
Wow.
And so Happy kind of does that for the first time. It's obviously, you know, Play It As It Lies would probably not come into the true ruling there.
Right, right, right.
But I just loved that it was like, you know, we're going to just still do this.
Yeah. And you know, Lee Trevino, when he was starting out, he worked at a driving range.
Okay.
And he would hustle. He would take a, it wasn't a quart bottle, but it was those bigger glass bottles of Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
The old, big, thicker ones.
Okay.
And he
They're worth like 20 cents.
He'd wrap it in tape.
Okay.
And play a guy. He'd hit the ball and putt with the Dr. Pepper bottle.
What?
Yeah, you could play with clubs, and he'd toss the ball up and hit it with the Dr. Pepper bottle and then go down the thing and hit it again.
Wow.
He hustled. That's how he made money. He hustled with that.
But to go back to the idea of this comedy and the way comedy was in, what is it, 96, the year the movie came out?
Somewhere there.
Yeah. The way the comedy was constructed as a whole in films across the board, you know, how has it been interesting for you as such a staple of like making these comedic films, both with and without, you know, it's like, how has that changed? It's changed so much the way we ingest comedy and what we're looking for. And even if you go back a decade or a generation before comedy was different, how do you understand that, you know, as a person whose job it is to essentially make things funny, right?
Yeah. It probably has changed, but of the funny stuff, funny doesn't change. Culture changes and references change. But you can, if you say, if it's funny, it doesn't matter how old you are or what time it is. It's just funny.
Right.
And some stuff that isn't funny isn't funny. And some stuff that is.
Right.
And I can't, I started watching that CNN thing on comedy or whatever it was on comedy. Comedians talk about comedy.
Right.
The history of comedy.
The history of boring. It's just like, you can't, I can't really tell you what's different. You know, maybe, the one thing I can tell you is different is, it's more dangerous now because you can't say stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, how does that affect
the
future
shitty.
Of comedy?
People are fucking scared. Really?
I'm scared.
Yeah. A good buddy of mine, Chris Mazzilli, who owns Gotham in New York,
yeah.
The comedy club, he said it's like, God, people are like, you know, having to pull back.
Really? Even on stage?
Yeah.
Because, wow. Did you see Chappelle's new bit on Netflix?
No, that I haven't.
Ooh, you got to watch it. It's called, what's it called?
Bird something?
No, it starts with an E, I thought. Chappelle. He did a new thing. And the
erection?
Second. Yeah, it's erection. That's what it's called. And
starts with an E. I don't know. I just took a shot.
Yeah, I took a shot. 71. Maybe 17, more like it. So, no, his whole second episode is literally, he's just like railing on all of this, the Time's Up, the Me Too movement, that Weinstein, that Louis, everything. But, and I was literally like, my eyes were like,
Revelation, that's what it was.
Revelation.
Yeah, so I was right with the bird.
You were right. Yeah, I was listening to episode two and I like turned the volume down because I didn't want my neighbors to be like, what the hell's wrong with this guy, you know? But yeah, it's interesting, you know? But anyway, to move on from that, you know, the other thing I thought of when watching the film again was 96, right? Where's Tiger Woods, right? He was a year away from winning the Masters, right? His first Masters. He was still an amateur. Did you think about that during the making of the film? Can you kind of go back into that time capsule that is the making of this film and look at, like, where was Tiger? You know, I'm forgetting his name. Come on. Wooden Hand.
Oh, Carl Weathers.
Yeah. You got Carl there. You know, you got one of the, you know, was that a big decision in the casting of the film, you know?
You know what? We were up there. We were in Vancouver, and still just desperately trying to get people to say yes. And
to be in the movie.
Yeah.
To be in Happy Gilmore, what would become one of the most quotable golf movies ever. How funny is that, though?
Yeah.
When you're making a movie, are you like, this is going to be it? Or are you like, I don't know?
No, we just, basically, all we're trying to do is figure out how to make it funny.
Right.
And that's just what we do.
Priority number one. Was it hard? It doesn't seem hard.
Battling, you know, you're battling all the elements of trying to make a movie, the world doesn't exist. For me, when I'm directing, the world doesn't exist.
Right.
I have no idea what's
going
on.
You go into a blackout.
Yeah, just like, what are we doing here?
Should we let the dog out?
Let's let the dog out. Hang on. Do you want to freeze it?
We'll just keep it going. Okay. We'll let the dog out. I should have brought my dog. I have a little dog, but I'm not going to just... Jeff, you want to jump on the mic and do some freestyle?
Sure.
Jeff's here. We're going to... So we're in Dennis's house. Dennis is an artist as well. You would most liken his work to probably an Ed Ruscha. I'm looking at a painting on the wall that says, perfect. And then there's another frame next to it that has a T in it. And so he's sort of into puns and play on words, and I love it. We got to go into his studio before we started doing the podcast, because we weren't sure what location to do it in. Obviously, I wanted to do it in the kitchen because I wanted to deliver the paleo cookie, which is a huge portion of the show. Hashtag paleo cookie for those of you at home.
Oh, you should talk a little bit about how Happy Gilmore is going to influence you as a,
right,
persona on camera.
Right.
You know, the way you dress, the way you play golf.
Right. Jeff. Yeah, so what's the dog's name, Dennis?
That's Peaches doing the screeching.
Peaches is screeching.
And Bill is Bill's with her, and that's Taco there.
Taco.
Taco is blind. Has
fully
both,
blind?
Both eyes are gone.
That's a blind Taco. Never thought of that. It's sort of like it feels like a mystery meet at the taco place.
Trust me, the taco place.
Trust me is the name of the taco joint.
Omakase Taco.
I love it. Do you love Japan?
I haven't been.
What?
Never.
Come with me. I'm going in 2 weeks.
What are you doing? Where
we're going to film. So you may not know. There's a. Ooh, can I say it on the podcast? What am I doing?
Contractually.
Contractually, I'm allowed to say what I'm doing. We're going to film with a wonderfully storied golf club manufacturer in Japan. And so, you know, obviously they spend their time making things the right way. So we'll get to go inside the ropes, if you will, of this family that makes golf clubs. I'm pretty excited. Anyway, I mean, the invitation's open.
Are they like the guy who made the swords for Kill Bill?
Well, very similar.
The golf club.
Yeah, so there's a neighborhood, there's an area a few hours south of Tokyo where all of the steel forgeries are based, and it's called Himeji. It's a small town on the ocean there, and they make a lot of samurai swords. They make a lot of other things that are forged, like pipes, I guess, or I don't know, but as well golf clubs. So
nice. Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
It'll be cool to go. I don't want to say too much about that because, you know, then you might not watch the show, and that's obviously very important. but actually, no. To go back to that, there is a link. Tiger Woods, right? What was he on your mind?
No.
Did you know who he was?
I can't remember if I. No, probably not.
Probably not. Did you ever hear from him at all at any point about the film or anything like that?
No.
Right.
Never heard. I haven't interfaced with any golfers.
Okay.
Pro.
Dude, I feel like you could walk in and the red carpet would get rolled out. Seriously. You could go to any PGA Tour event and be like, yeah, only one person directed Happy Gilmore. And it's not anyone else but me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about casting.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers' agent called because we hadn't thought. I can't remember what our thinking was on Chubbs.
How did he get that name? I have a cookie in my mouth.
I don't know.
How did Chubbs? Was that just know. Sandler's?
That was whatever. That was those guys. His agent called and said, "Oh, you know, Carl is in Seattle and he'd love to come up and read." And I go, okay, you know, because I didn't know him as a comedian.
Right.
I just knew him from Rocky, you know, and stuff. So.
Right. He was in Rocky.
Yeah. Apollo Creed. Was that
Apollo Creed?
Wow.
So I'm thinking.
I totally spaced on that. That's so, like literally my world, my brain just actually broke.
Yeah. So I went, okay. You know, and the agent was insane. It wasn't that I didn't like him.
Yeah.
As an actor. I just, I didn't picture him.
Yeah, you'd never seen him in that.
Guy. So I went, yeah, okay. So then like, whatever, 2 days later, he's come, we're having a session, and I go, and Carl Weathers is coming, and Sam goes, oh. And I go, the agent said he loves the movie, and he's driving himself up here to do it, and
right.
I go, let's just give him the courtesy, because he's a real actor,
right.
Give him the courtesy of doing it. So he reads it, and we go, that's the guy.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
That's the guy.
Who else were you looking at for the role of Chucks?
I can't remember, but I remember we wanted Chris McDonald for Shooter.
Yeah.
And so first he read it, and then he said, yeah, I think I'll do it, you know. And mm-hmm. we were excited because of him. And then, and he said, I'm a golfer too, you know, which was a lie. but he actually looks like he actually got to looking.
His swing looks pretty good.
Yeah, legit. Yeah. So he.
By the way, everyone says they're a golfer. I did a casting recently, and they're like, "I'm a great golfer."
Yeah.
And I looked at the swing, and I was like, "Oh my god, I actually can't look at that." You owe me $5 for watching your swing.
So he goes, calls the agent calls and says, "No, he can't do it."
Why?
So I call him and I go, I thought you wanted to do this movie. And he goes, look, I just did two in a row. I've been on location two in a row. I've got a wife and kid. I can't. He said, I just can't be away again. And I go, dude, just, it's summer.
Yeah.
We'll rent you a house on the, we had no money.
Look at you.
We had no money and I had no authority to do this.
Look at you.
And I go, but we're like.
Just spinning plates.
We're like six. Days away from shoot.
6 days?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh,
like,
my
God. And I go, we'll rent you a house on the water there. It's beautiful. And you have a summer vacation. You play golf with Adam. And you fucking go back to your family at night. And there you go. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah.
Right.
And,
amazing.
Wait,
so that's a huge, moment.
Yeah.
That affected the world.
Yeah.
Because Shooter McGavin, in some ways, is one of the most
hated
characters in golf. But also, he's kind of loved because he's so hateable.
Yeah.
We love to hate.
So I hang up. He goes, I'm doing it.
Right.
I go, great.
Yeah.
So I go back. Simons and Sandler go, how'd you do it? I go, great. He's doing it. And they go, yes, he's doing it. And I go, Bob, come here.
Yeah, small thing.
I go, I promised him a house on the water. And Simons was very cool. Just goes, yep,
all right.
We'll do it. We'll get it.
All right.
Here's another Shooter thing. So the whole time we're doing that, the guys are you know, because we're always standing around. People have golf clubs and golf balls and we're around greens and stuff. So people are betting on chipping and putting and doing this and that. There's always constantly that. So we get to the final hole, and there were certain places where I said, okay, we're going to, you know, we had all different ways to get the ball to go in the hole.
Sure.
Obviously, you could get putts it, and then you roll it. They created a
little
roller coaster
ramp.
A little ramp.
Yeah, like so a stimp meter. Yeah,
they could work on that, and they could get any putt to go in.
Right.
But
I noticed there were some putts that were... You know, Shooter hits it and it's not going in, but then you cut and it goes in. And I kind of loved that. I was wondering if that bothered you.
No,
you don't care.
But
you're all. I love that you're just like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
So, but sometimes I'd go, okay, we're sitting here until you get it in. We're gonna shoot this 30-footer. We're getting in. You know.
Whoa, that could take a while.
Yeah. We just do it.
Right.
And this was filmed too. It wasn't taped. So you had to,
You were burning dollars.
So, yeah, we're burning bucks. So. We get to the last hole, and so his putt that he's got to make before the tower crashes down is like 45 feet or something. And I go, you were going to shoot until you get this.
And he goes, did you actually use it as a oneer in the film, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because I didn't want to be, because that's fake.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it to seem real, right? Because it actually was. So, there, and I said, do whatever you do. So the Greens guys were doing our guys probably. So they rolled it, you know, they basically almost were trying to make a
like a funnel
track.
Yeah, right.
For it.
That's so
and
funny.
And so he's probably working. So
I need that.
You know, there's like 500, 600 extras for this thing, you know, stuff. So I'm going, I go, hey, I don't think you can do this in 15 putts.
Okay.
And I said, so I'm setting the over-under for anybody who wants to bet at 15, and I'm taking the over.
Right.
So people start, crew guys start coming up and betting. I'm covering bets now.
Right.
And I'm going, it's like...
This is the true story of how you made your millions.
Yeah. So I got up to like $1,600 that I'm betting on right. this thing. And ragging him as he's missing by 5-6 feet.
Right,
you know,
right.
Something. And so then we get going. We start, you know. And I'm rousing the crowd up. And
right.
You know, go in. And he gets to 8.
Right.
And I go, now, Chris, you got to, here's the thing about this one. You can't think, oh, I've missed 8 and I only have 7 left.
Oh, jeez.
You can't do that. Yeah. So don't think like that.
Yeah, don't
you know?
Do that.
And I go, how many people think he's going to make this one? And people go, nah. I go, no chance, whatever. So finally, about 12, he hits
it. He drops it.
Drops it.
From downtown.
The place goes fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And if you watch, he goes crazy and he goes, and he goes, take that, you know, and he's
yeah.
And just like, he went nuts.
Perfect shooter.
Yeah, so, boom, the movie comes out, whatever. 6 months later, I'm having dinner with Brian Grazer.
Okay.
And he says, hey, I got a funny story to tell you. Oh, what? And he goes, well, we had Chris McDonald in the office the other day, and he doesn't know I know you. So starts telling this story, and he says, you know, I'm doing Happy Gilmore, and I guess I really pissed him off, you know. So he said, I'm doing Happy Gilmore, and he says, the director is, like, betting against me on the last hole, and he's rabble-rousing the crowd, and I'm trying to sink this putt.
Right.
And all he's doing is giving me shit and getting the crowd going. And he said, I finally, when I hit, because he said, I beat him. He said, when I did that, he said, I went nuts and the crowd went nuts. And it just was crazy. It was crazy. And he said, I was so happy that I beat. And Grazer said, so in other words, what you're telling me is he was doing his job? And he said, Chris looked, and at that moment, Chris got what I was doing.
Whoa. That's amazing.
But if you see it, man, he goes nuts at the end. Take that!
Right.
That was to me.
Yeah, I guess on some level, as a director, you're kind of like a psychologist for like a zoo.
Yeah.
you're trying to reason with a lion. Because, you know, because he went on to have like quite a, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, but he went on to have a career, but... Yeah. Only really known in the public eye as Shooter. Like, I mean, if he went anywhere, it's like, there's Shooter. Yeah. There's Shooter. You know, and he owns up to it. I mean, his whole social media, have you followed up with it?
Yeah, he loves the movie, embraces it.
Yeah, he embraces it. Do you guys interface at all now?
I see him every once in a while talk to him. I mean, it wasn't like we were like, he was like, you know, because there have been actors that I've worked with who hate me.
Sure. No, I didn't get that.
You're never going to defeat that.
Right.
But I try to be really nice. I try to have everybody have a good time and stuff. But in this case, I was just getting the atmosphere right.
Right. It was really, yeah, it's so perfect. I guess, you know, I mean, one thing I definitely want to make sure that I say at least is thank you, you know, because, you know, on some level, Happy Gilmore probably paved a way for me to even become, to a large extent, who I even am today, you know, because there was a long time where I didn't play golf. I hated golf. And watching Happy Gilmore, in a sense, made me feel like, oh, I actually do maybe belong in this weird corner. You know what I mean? And it, right. And it's set up like a dress code, you know, kind of like a status quo, like a new status quo,
right,
for potentials along all those lines, you know? And,
yeah.
And, I just, it's really cool to look back on something that happened 20 something years ago that was more, you know, what's it called when something kind of tells the future?
Prescient.
I think, that's
futuristic.
Futuristic? Yeah.
Premonition?
What's the word? No, when something is foreshadow. Foretell?
Foreshadows?
I don't know.
Futuristic?
You. Now you're not in the WGA, Dennis. Relax. You're in the DGA. Derelict.
I got to put that dog in the gym.
The dog's going to the gym. I'm going to look at my notes.
Yeah.
The price is wrong, bitch. That's my favorite note. That's my favorite quote. Jeff, what's yours?
What's with the gator? Remember?
Yeah.
He's like, he does the thing with the hand.
Yeah. That's not a quote, though.
It's nonverbal.
Nonverbal quotes aren't quotes, dude. Jeff, did you eat one of the acid-laced cookies? Because you're not making any.
I just love when he hits the. Remember, he's using the hockey stick and hits the hand, Chubb's hand.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Yep, nice to meet you." The hand's missing. I always get
Chubb's hand. Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. I feel like we're pretty good.
Also, does anybody else have weak fingers? Remember Ben Stiller in the
Weak
the
Fingers
old woman song.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, yeah. Knitting, and yeah. My fingers hurt. You're going to do lawn duty.
Yeah, where was Ben Stiller's career at right then?
Yeah, that was like before There's Something About Mary and all those things.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think we're pretty good, right? When Dennis comes back, I think we're just going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what else do we have? I got one thing to talk about. Yeah, I was actually wondering. Oh, I have a question here. How many takes did it take to sink the putts? So we already answered that without even.
Sandler's great, by the way. And you know, I invented the hockey putter.
You invented that?
Yeah, for the movie.
Okay.
I had him make it. Odyssey made it, and then.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And we brought it, and I gave it to Adam, and I go, "This, how cool would this be?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's great." And he loved the idea. And then you get it down, and you just think about this huge chunk of metal.
Right.
On that, you just, it's impossible.
Oh, it's actually harder.
Yeah, it's like a big
gate,
down there. So, yeah. You know, so that's why he got farther down the handle.
Right. Is that a legal grip? I wonder about.
Yeah, you can.
I wonder if you're allowed to hold it like that.
I don't know.
So many putter rules.
I don't know. But anyway, so he went, "That's great, but look what you've done to me now." And he got really good. Who could that be?
Messed up his golf game. Who's calling? Maybe it's Sandler.
No, it's somebody.
Maybe he knows.
I want a cruise.
Maybe he won a cruise. He won a cruise. Let's see who's calling. You got to tell him you're recording or else it's illegal. Yeah. You can say, "Hello, I'm recording."
Hello?
You got to tell him. Oh, dial tone. Fuck you.
It's
this is life on the ranch with Dennis. Dennis, I'm gonna answer about fuck you. I'm gonna answer the phone like that from now on.
Now usually I do it like a mentally challenged person. I go,
oh my god.
And I go, Mr. Dugan, and I go, what?
Yeah. What did you want to sell me? I need a feeding tube. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Got that? I'm in.
There you go. If you're offended, please email Jeff. Jeff with a G. With a G.
Joffrey.
Joffrey, exactly. Yeah, he's British, but he hides it behind an English-American accent. I mean, that's pretty much all I got. You know, you got notes, though.
I got a couple
Dennis
things.
Got some notes.
I just want to tell you some things, because there's, in case we forgot.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
Oh, this is one. This is one that was cool. They, you know, they were writing, they would write at night when we were prepping.
Okay.
And so basically we were a 24-hour a day enterprise.
Right.
They, him and Apatow came up.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing at the time?
I don't know, writing, just doing stuff.
Trying to make
money.
Were,
he and Adam were roommates.
No shit. Yeah. At the time of the movie?
Originally. Oh. So Avatar came up and stuff, and so they were writing, and they would they would write all night.
Right. So a lot of drugs.
So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I would go over there because they had written, and then they would go across the street to the breakfast place and have breakfast and then go to bed.
What?
So I would go over to breakfast and they would give me the pages.
Right.
And so during the day when I was prepping, I would read the pages and I'd make notes. And then before dinner, when they'd be up for dinner, I'd go to dinner with them. I'd give them my notes.
Uh-huh.
How's this possible?
That
she got the dogs back in.
I don't know. There's a lot of dog action going on here.
Dogs are here. You can't. Yeah. What are you going to do?
We love dogs.
So that's the way we do it.
Right.
24 hours a day.
Right. It's like a sweat factory.
New pages, rewrites, yeah. Old pages. Marcella! Yeah. Where are the Los Perros?
Someone's getting yelled at. Where are the Perros?
He just said. I put the Perros in the gym. Go just get them because they're making too much Ruizo.
Para mí. Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Got to keep those Perros in check, eh?
And let's see.
Yeah, so it was around the clock. It was like a meth addled.
That was really cool.
How were they staying up all night, though?
They would just stay up because they'd sleep in the day.
Right. Why wouldn't they just work in the day?
I don't know.
Oh,
because they're used
to
from Saturday Night Live, and that's what they were used to. That's the rhythm that they worked under.
Right. How did Lee Trevino come on board?
We just called him.
Yeah.
And asked him, and he did it. And then, I went. He wasn't actually in Vancouver. I went down there and shot all his stuff in Florida in like 2 days.
No shit.
Just all separate, all his stuff. And I said to him, because he was talking about the fact that everybody comes to him for stuff and asking him to do stuff. And I go, how come you're doing a movie? Because nobody ever asked me. And he said, I thought it'd be cool to do.
Oh, that's cool.
He couldn't have been nicer.
He's a very nice guy.
You probably know him.
Yeah, I met him, yeah. Him and George Lopez are good friends. And Lopez, when he and I met, Lopez said, hey, man, why me, you, and Lee Trevino should go to Scotland? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And, it's kind of hard logistically to set up, three people who are pretty busy to go to Scotland. But it'd be fun, right?
But he's got his own plane.
One of them does. Yeah, I don't. Not me. Yeah, I know that.
Lee does.
Lee plane Vino.
Oh, hey, I'll tell you my other two notes here in a sec. But you're good at, you can talk your way into anything. You're like really cool.
I'm in your living room.
Yeah, you did it. You're my dining room. You didn't get, you had to walk through the living room. Did you see those velvet ropes?
Yeah.
don't cross them. Alarms will go off. I like playing darts.
Okay, yeah, I noticed. I saw some darts in there.
And the guy, the champion of all time, is Phil Taylor. Do you know
okay.
who he is?
No.
He's British.
Okay.
He's the British. He's the champion.
Okay.
He's the only guy with multiple 9-dart finishes.
Wow. I need to do some research as soon as we're done because I don't know what a multiple 9-dart finish is.
Well, it's going from 501 points down to 0 in 9 darts.
Oh, I see. So it's like a perfect game in bowling or something.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to England in the end of summer. I want to get a lesson with Phil Taylor. How do I do that?
That'd be good.
How would you do your squizzling?
Well, I mean, subject line, Happy Gilmore director looking for. I don't know. I mean, I think, well, I mean, it's so, I would probably, I mean, you love darts.
Yeah.
And so does he.
Yeah.
I think that's all you need.
That's right. Okay, good. All right. So then we solved that one.
Yeah.
Let's see. So that was it. Oh, we hired, this may be, I can't remember, but this might be the one where he goes, somebody's closer.
Yeah.
We hired, there was one, it was the Sunday, it was like a few days before we were shooting, maybe the Sunday before we were shooting. Sandler calls me up about 4 in the afternoon. He says, meet me downstairs. So I go downstairs. We drive out to the driving range. He said, I got an idea for the way I'm going to hit the golf ball. And I go, how? And he goes, watch this. And he goes, so then he runs up and hits it.
What?
And I go, you can do this?
He did the Happy Gilmore?
He did the Happy Gilmore, and nobody had ever seen it before, but he had this idea for doing that, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Because that wasn't like, it was like late in the game.
That wasn't in the script.
No, when he decided to do that.
I mean, that's one of the most famous things about the movie. That's that's the verb. I can't believe I forgot to bring that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever done that on a course?
Yeah, I've videoed me doing it. I'm successful. You know, Padraig Harrington, you know, he's won a couple of different majors. He does it to practice.
But didn't Rory or somebody...
Rory's done it. Jordan Spieth has done it.
Somebody did it. They did a, like sports science on it to see if it was better.
We should look into that. I'm curious.
Anyway, so he showed me that day.
Right.
And then we were going to have people at some point. We wanted to have a pro so that, you know, on some longer shots, we could have a guy hit the ball and it could come into our camera.
Right, and see the actual ball flight.
Yeah. So we hired a guy, and he comes out. We're out on the course doing something. He comes over, and we go, "Hey, nice to meet you." And I said, "I want to show you what he's doing, so if you want to practice." And he goes, "What?" And I go, "This is what I do it." I said, "Do it, Adam." So Adam does it, you know. And he goes, "Can't do that."
"I can't do that."
He said, "You can't do that." And Adam goes, "Yeah, I can." And the guy goes, "Well," he said, "No, you can't hit a ball like that." I said, "Well, just try it, you know." And the guy does it, and he goes, "We were like 100 yards off the green."
Yeah.
And he goes up and he hits it, dribbles it over here and dribbles it over there. And Santa goes, "Not like that." And the guy goes, "How?" And Adam goes, "Well, like this." And he goes to him and goes, and he puts it like 3 feet from the
No. No. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I finally, so the guy left and I said, "I don't think we need him. You know?
Right. I think you got it, Adam.
Good enough athlete. You don't need him."
Jeff, do you have internet?
Let me see.
Do you know the Wi-Fi password, Dennis? Do you know it?
Yeah.
What can you tell it to him so we can? I want to see what this. Can you see about this? Does doing the Happy Gilmore, you know, the stats? Maybe there are stats online. Like, what is it? What's that show called? Like, prove it, prove me wrong, science, something? Mythbusters?
Oh, here's the other thing that we did. We had no, again, no money and no time. So I get up there, and they have the whole production office, the art department, has a big room. And they have this golf course that they've photographed, and this golf course, and this golf for this tournament, and this one for this tournament, and that tournament, and whatever. And, you know, I'm going, yeah, because I'm like, I'm just saying yes to everything for a second while I get my bearings, you know?
Right.
And I've read the script like 3 times. I'm directing a movie. So I go, I finally go, "Hey, look, it's great what you've done, all these different golf courses." I said, "There's no way we're traveling to this golf course and shooting this tournament." I said, "A golf course is green."
Yeah.
"There are greens, there are fairways, there are trees, there's water."
Yeah.
And I said, "Nobody, it's not the history of golf courses." So I said to him, I go, "We're shooting what we're shooting, where we're shooting, when we're there."
Yeah, I like
and
that.
We did stuff, we got so good at it, you know, obviously, you know, you'd be dressed in the pink shirts for this tournament, and you'd be in the blue shirts as the silent people, you know, whatever. But we did stuff like we putted. There was one time when we had to get this putt. We're losing the light, and I said, "We got to get these 2 shots." And they go, "I don't know how we're going to do it because we're supposed to be over there." I go, "Don't worry about that." So Adam is putting, boom, boom, boom. He finally hits the putt, and we had people standing right off camera. As soon as he hit the putt and does his celebration and stuff, I go, "Cut." And the golf greenskeeper guy comes out. He's got the hole maker with the divot for the hole that was there, pulls the plastic out, boom, puts the hole in, taps it down. People put down 2 white balls for the tee, and a new set of guys come
Amazing.
In, and we're shooting now off the green. Now we're shooting off. We're shooting in the tee.
Going again.
C90. Yeah.
Amazing.
But that's what we did. You know, if there was grass and a tree, we shot.
I noticed that some tee boxes were not tee boxes, but it doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Here's the so we have some stats here. Let's see. So here I'll read this. In a sports science video from 2009, Patrick Harrington puts the Happy Gilmore swing to the test to see if running start, if the running start really does produce more distance off the tee. It was just after he won the PGA, a victory at the British in the PGA. As you can see, the Happy Gilmore swing did produce a longer drive and more clubhead speed. He went from 107 to 114 miles per hour and resulted in 30 yards more distance off the tee. The key? Well, as Chubbs taught Happy, it's all in the hips. That's amazing. The running start allowed Harrington more shoulder and hip turn, resulting in increased acceleration. The problem?
Accuracy.
Yeah, exactly. Are you reading this? How are you reading
this? No.
As stated in the video, the drivers being just 1 degree offline or a couple millimeters of the sweet spot can result in the ball being 20 yards offline. Story of my life. All the moving parts of the swing that make it possible. Yeah, you know all this, right? For even more Happy Gilmore fun, watch the below video of professional players trying out the swing at the 2013 Scottish Open. Phil Mickelson, Paul Casey. Yeah, so cool.
Wow, that's amazing.
How cool is that? You invented a golf swing. I guess, Dennis, that's it. I mean, you know, do you have anything else?
Nothing. I'm done.
All right, let's shut it down. Thank you for listening, everybody. Dennis, are you on social media?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
What is it? Let people follow you.
You mean if I have a Twitter?
Yeah, no, you don't.
I
knew it.
I do.
You do? You don't know
what
it is.
I don't know what it is.
Then it's okay.
I don't
Then Twitter. You don't really have a Twitter.
I'm on Facebook. And
Facebook?
Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
I don't know, Dennis Dugan thing, whatever. Well, can you find it?
We'll put it in the episode. We'll put it in the episode. Dennis, thank you for doing
it. Somewhere.
Dennis is going to get an iPad or something.
No, it's right
here. He's going to go get his MacBook. Oh, here we go. You can let us know. Oh, follow Dennis on Instagram. What is it pictures of? Let's take a look before we tell people. Is this my Instagram? Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. But I don't want people...
You don't want people following you.
I don't invite anybody
It's private.
Instagram anyway.
All right, so don't follow Dennis on Instagram. That was a good talk.
Tell him to come to my art show.
When's your art show going to be? Do you have a date?
But it's January or February at the Turner Gallery at Bergamot Station.
In Santa Monica.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to go to Dennis's show, I'll be there, right?
Yeah.
Am I invited?
Yeah,
just checking.
Of course you will.
I'll bring cookies.
Yeah.
He loved it. It's the crumbs now.
We'll tell him.
We'll bring the cookies. It'll be January, February in Santa Monica. So in about 11 months. You got work to do.
Seems pretty soon.
I'm excited to see it all. Thank you so much for spending time with me.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
I hope everyone really got excited to rewatch Happy Gilmore, everybody, because Dennis just did, and we both loved it. Anything else, Jeff?
I think that's everything. Follow you on Instagram, right?
Oh, jeez. Don't follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram, and you can see a picture of me and Dennis that we're about to take. Bye, everybody. Thanks.
Bye, and good luck.